My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And something else we're going to have to figure out is the top 20 games of the 23-24 season for the Sacramento Kings. Last year, it was a blast going through these 20 games. Controversy near the top of the list.
Shouldn't have been, but, you know.
No, it was ridiculous. It wasn't. You're right. It wasn't controversial. It was ridiculous. This is going to be a little bit different.
Yeah.
As there were certainly memorable moments, it feels like far less, but we're starting, I guess, what is our new yearly tradition of counting down the top 20 games as we head into the next Kings season.
Look back on the season that just happened for the Kings, and you know, this one right here was probably a better season than people want to give it credit for, because you know they didn't make the playoffs, but there was they had some good moments. A lot of, like, going through these games, a lot of them were just wins or losses. It wasn't a whole lot memorable. It wasn't like this great game. It wasn't a great comeback or anything else like that. And it wasn't like, one thing I will say is, originally I was like, there wasn't even like a lot of close losses. Well, there actually was.
We talked about making it a top 10.
Right. There actually was a good number of close losses. You know what I mean? That would have gotten like an honorable mention.
Is there a loss on the list?
There is no loss on the list.
Okay.
Last year there wasn't either, but I had the list of honorable mention games that included game four against the Warriors, you know, the Harrison Barnes. That was a great game. Mm-hmm. That was a great, and it can never just be fully embraced because it was a loss, but that was a phenomenal game, playoff game. So little stuff like that. We don't have that. I mean, there are some honorable mention ones. Like I thought,
well, the Bucks
game comes to mind. It's ridiculous because they lost, but the Suns game was a great finish.
Wow.
They had like three games towards the end of the season that were really good games that they couldn't get the.
Was that the one they were up 21? The Suns game, is that the game you're talking about?
Yeah, that's one. Yeah, yeah. The Suns game at home was a good game. They couldn't find a way to win. Mm-hmm. The Mavericks game was another good game. They couldn't find a way to win. Those were close competitive losses.
That was the second Mavericks game.
Mm-hmm. Malik got hurt. That's where we lost Malik.
Brutal.
So, just not as many.
Oh, yeah, y'all wanted Luka's head after that.
Yeah, with Luka flopping around, falling all over the place.
That's what happened.
Stay on your feet.
Well,
what are you doing?
All right.
But we were able to come up with 20.
Okay.
We were able to come up with 20. And number 20 on the list, New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
The Sacramento Kings took a trip to Memphis, Tennessee, and they beat the Grizzlies and kind of beat them down.
Yeah.
123-92. Ain't no kind of about it. That's almost a 30-point. That's a 31-point win. Mm. This game was memorable, to me at least, because I think a lot of people will say, pound for pound, this might have been the best game they played all year. Like, they beat up on Memphis, at least against a good team. And at the time, Memphis' record wasn't that good. They were 10-22. But People forget they played against Ja. And Memphis was playing good basketball. They thought they were.
That was against Ja.
Yeah, they thought they were like turning the corner and like Ja.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't know exactly. I could look, but I think they had won, I don't know, like four of their last six or whatever since Ja came back or something like that. And there was
a
different
hell of a record with Ja.
There was a different feel to this Grizzlies team, and everybody was like, "Oh man, you know, you got the Grizzlies, or whatever." And the Kings beat them down.
Mm-hmm.
Beat them down. Malik Monk went to work.
Yeah.
On Memphis, 27 points on the night, 10 of 13 from the
field. That's the number right there.
He wasn't missing, boy.
That's the number right there.
He wasn't missing, man. And it was a close game early on. Kings kind of pulled away in the second half, or excuse me, in the second quarter to go up by, I think, 11 at the half. And then they just blew the doors open in that third quarter. And kind of went to work on him. Malik went to work. Sabonis, which as I go through some of these games, this type of stat line we're going to see often.
Mm-hmm.
13 points, 21 rebounds, 12 assists for Domas in this game. He was phenomenal. De'Aaron Fox, 24 points. That was a lot of the times with these games, I'll watch the opposing team's broadcast because I saw, you know, the home team, and I want to get a feel for how they were saying it. Brevin Knight and whoever the play-by-play was from Memphis, they were raving about Fox, you know, and what he's been doing up to that point. They said in the month of December, he was averaging a little less than 30 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, he was killing. And he went to work on the Grizzlies, man. This was a good win for the Kings.
This, I think, is most memorable. I completely forgot Ja played in this one, but I remembered immediately, Malik on New Year's.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve was nuts.
It was a problem. 27 on 10 of 13 from the field. Couple of notes.
This was a bench game, by the way, for Kevin Huerter. A Chris Duarte start.
It was Chris Duarte.
Duarte started.
Now, I wish I'd tell the whole story.
All right.
Because Duarte started, but Huerter had left the previous game against Atlanta with a hurt hand.
And it was that where he got hurt, like on the jump ball?
It was. A little preview. I haven't gotten to that game yet, but I'm going to have to look. I think he got hurt at halftime, though.
In the locker room?
No, like he played the first half and then was ruled
out.
Okay,
so So Kevin played nine. So that wasn't
the
game. He played 9 minutes in 45 seconds that game. So it wasn't the one where
that was,
like the jump ball happens.
He rolled his ankle. That's what happened.
Oh, it was his ankle. Okay.
He's like stepped on Keegan or Keegan stepped on.
That's what it
was.
That was
against Charlotte. I remember that. It was against Charlotte.
Okay.
Yeah, at Charlotte. That's good knowledge for you. Good memory.
How's he out of this game already?
Well,
it wasn't a good memory. I was wrong.
So, yeah, that did happen.
Did he play the next game? Yeah, no, he was still off the bench in the next one.
Mm.
When did? Well, there's Chris Duarte again.
Jeez. Come on, Mike. What are we doing?
It's Chris Duarte again.
So, look, the thing about it
Chris
is
Chris Duarte.
I'm watching this game.
There's Kevin Huerter. So, Chris Duarte started, it looked like, five straight games before Kevin Huerter returned to the starting lineup against the Pistons in a 21-point victory where he went 2 of 11.
Well, wasn't a glorious return to the starting lineup, but they won. They won.
And that's
not going to be on the list, but
Domas had 37 that night.
Well, do you remember? Damn. Do everybody remember what happened that game?
The Detroit game?
Yeah. They were down like 25 in the first quarter.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And they ended up winning by like almost 30.
Well, remember what happened the game before. They'd gotten their ass whooped by the Pelicans.
That's right. That's right.
But and when I say their ass whooped, I mean they lost by like 30.
Yeah. That's right.
And the Pistons scored 47 points.
Bro. So look.
Pistons scored 47 points in the first quarter. Kings were down 16. They outscored the Pistons 39-18 in the second quarter. The best part, the third quarter, it was 30-30. And then they blew them out.
The Kings won by like 25, right?
They blew them out in the fourth quarter, 33-15.
That's crazy. That was a crazy
What game. A roller coaster that game was. This is the number one game, isn't it? We just spoiled it. This is the number one game right here.
Oh, man. A funny thing in this Memphis game is I went back.
Started five straight games.
As I went back and watched the game, Duarte, in the first, at like the 9 minute mark in the first quarter, Duarte, like, tries to defend a pass. It gets knocked out of bounds. They call it out on Duarte, Memphis ball. And Duarte's like, what? No, what's it out on me? He's looking at the bench. No, review it. I'm telling you right now, review. As he's doing that, Memphis inbounds the ball. gets a wide open three. I said, yo, and guy should have been out of the game right then and there. That was a Buddy Hield-like move.
Not only should he have, he started four games after that.
I'm sitting there. I had to rewind it. Like, did I just see that? He's like, no, hey, review. Doug, review. Camera goes, Jaren Jackson, wide open three.
Mike's ignoring him, so he goes to Doug. DC, it's me. Come on, man, review.
And the killer is, Duarte is like, it's the play happened on the opposite end of where the bench is. So Duarte, like, you know, kind of moves toward the bench, like almost the half court to be like, hey, review. Meanwhile, they're inbounding on the other side.
What a mess, man.
So, yeah.
So, in that game that Herter started against the Pistons, Chris Duarte didn't even play.
Come on, Mike.
He didn't even play. Mike's just like, forget it.
Come on, Mike.
Just forget it.
So, yeah, man, game number 20.
There's the Hornets game. It's right after the Pistons one we were just talking about.
He got hurt after that?
41 seconds.
Oh, man.
He played 41 seconds into the game.
Oh, man. Game number 20, top 20 games of the 2023-2024 season. The Kings beat the brakes off the Memphis Grizzlies 123-92. They went to 19-12 with that win over Memphis. And number 19 will be here tomorrow.
All right, it'll be fun. 27 from Malik and a big-time triple-double from Domas.
That boy Malik was cooking.
When he gets hot, man, that is such a blast to watch. Yeah.
You know, another thing that happens with like these watching these games or whatever, and it's not like this long ago, but still, like I'm watching the game and, oh, there goes Davion Mitchell. Oh, there goes Chris Duarte. I remember it almost reminds me of like, if you ever watch like games from the 99 or 2000 season, like a playoff game or something like that, you'll see Nick Anderson is the starting shooting guard and John Barry coming off. We loved the bench mob. Like people love Davion Mitchell. We loved him, but we almost forget those guys weren't part of like the ultimate like highlight of that group.
Kings basketball.
You know what I mean? And you got to wonder if maybe that's going to be the case for a guy like Davion. Like, we love Davion. And, you know, if the Kings make it to the conference finals and we're so in love with Beam Team 3, you know, we're going to forget.
Paperwork for that one,
trademark,
too.
Trademark.
Who are you talking to? Like, you keep... Every time you do that, you look up and you point to the sky. Like, who are you talking to when you do that?
God. You're not doing it right. You have to declare it. You have to declare the trademark.
I'm talking to God.
Okay. He doesn't. It's fine.
I tried.
I know.
Season four?
No.
Five, six.
I declare bankruptcy. I can't remember what this.
Maybe it's later on in four.
Michael Scott said it?
Maybe. Yes. Yeah, Michael Scott said it. I think I'm going to put the Office theme on the board, and every time we drop a reference and we know Kenny doesn't know it, we just press the button and it goes,
that's a good idea.
It'll alert me to what that's from.
Davis Bertans got a camp invite from the Golden State Warriors. Only bring that up because I thought that would be someone that Sacramento was interested in. Mm. It's clear at this point they might not be interested in anybody moving forward. But Davis Bertans was a name that I thought, I guess there's, it works. It makes sense. He can do some of the things that you'd like here. But that's why I'm not a general manager.
Yeah.
And Mike Dunleavy is, and he invited him to get some work with Golden State.
We'll see what happens. I thought he was pretty solid in Washington a couple years ago. Like I said, I'm not going to act like I'm locked
in. Big Davis Bertans expert.
Yeah, I'm not locked in, but the narrative or the talk around him for the last two seasons was he's awful.
He signed his deal and fell off. Yeah. He shot 43% in 2019, and then he got his deal in 2020, and since then it's not been good at all.
He's with Charlotte? Or was with Charlotte?
Right. Yeah.
Because he's not with Washington.
Yeah, he was probably...
He went Washington, then he went Dallas, Charlotte, and then the Thunder.
Oh, he ended on the Thunder.
Yeah. He only got 15 games there, though. Like 6 minutes a game, so barely even played.
And he couldn't...
I don't remember him there at all. I thought he was still in Charlotte.
He couldn't play at all with any of those teams. Mm-hmm. Like Dallas was like, he's unplayable. We trade him. Couldn't play with Charlotte. Couldn't play with the Thunder. Couldn't play him, almost like Gordon Hayward couldn't play him. Mm-hmm. So in theory, I like him too, but it just seems like he...
It's like Bielitsa at this point. It's like, Bielitsa's probably better at their point in their careers.
Do you have his money?
I can look it up. Yeah, hold on.
Oh, no, I just thought you had it. I was like, what? No.
Training camp?
You're not even equipped to call for
it. Relax, Yokozuna.
I'm the champ. I'm the champ.
Let me ask you something. On the day of the pocket watching championship, did you defeat Jesse to win the title?
Absolutely.
Did you or
season
did you,
over? Season over.
Did you or did you not immediately challenge Abe from 98 Rock?
Yeah, and what happened?
You beat him.
That's right.
And then
In an exhibition.
And then what happened?
He won an exhibition.
How is it an exhibition?
Because the season's over. Once I won the title, that was the end of the season.
We never hit the end credits.
Everything
is wrestling.
It's facts.
There is a season.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Third season.
How do I make the rules?
Jack Tunney, stop it.
Well, I'm sure as hell not the other guy, so I'm going to be Jack Tunney.
Bertans had 5 years, $80
million. Oh.
Yeah, he did sign that $80 million. I think the Mavericks signed him to that deal.
Man.
Too. Did the Mavericks sign or did
I think it was the Wizards. It was the Wizards. Oh, and then the Mavericks traded for that.
Wow. That's but, tough.
You know, I'm just checking when training camp starts, when all that stuff starts.
It really starts when Abe decides it starts.
Abe has no saying in this.
Abe is the champ.
I say pocket watching comes back the day the NBA season starts up.
I'm with it.
Yeah.
I'm with it. We'll have to arrange it with the champion, but I'm with it.
Arrange it with me.
Oh, like we're adding Kyle and Abe's teams, right?
It's yeah.
Like we're going to have to low-key like make this a segment.
We have to add Abe. Like, he's the champion.
Well, maybe he's Alindra Blaze going on WCW at the time.
Oh, man. Can you imagine 98 Rock starts their own pocket watching league?
Abe throws it in the trash.
Oh, man. Well, we'd have to get, like, Gavin from the wake-up call to come in and take his place or something. We don't even call him Gavin. We just call him the new Abe. The new Abe is here. We'll come back. Jason Jones joins us when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Can I give a quick shout-out real quick?
Yes, what we do?
Shout-out, as I'm on Twitter right now, Benzino's Tacos. They've got the custom De'Aaron Fox shoes that they're giving away and all this other stuff. That's phenomenal. They're doing their thing. Fox has it on his Twitter and everything so you guys can know. But the announcement was made over the weekend that Benzino's is going to be next to Doco. I think they're in that same spot, like kind of where the skating ring was.
Yep.
All season long.
All home games.
Home games.
That's awesome.
And yeah, that's going to be a good look. That's going to be a good look.
Don't put them poor bacon-wrapped hot dog guys out of business.
I don't know if you can because they're going to be out there grinding. Yeah, but no, you guys can share the space
they're
together.
Form a circle to where you can't get to your car without getting a hot dog or whatever. And credit, salute. Smells amazing.
It does.
Absolutely. I still haven't had their tacos yet.
You
have. Didn't Manny bring them in one time?
Oh, no, he did. That's right. I didn't. It was bomb.
I just gave them to you guys.
It was bomb. I mean, I hadn't had him for. I haven't placed an order.
Yeah,
but yeah, Manny did bring him, and it was bomb.
Is he posted up somewhere every day?
I don't know. It's a good
like,
question.
If I wanted Benzito's tacos right now, could I have them?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't think they're every day. I'm pretty sure he posted something. They are like, either. They'll be around like some days, but not
they're
every
like
day.
Shock drops. you gotta be ready.
Well, we'll know exactly where they're gonna be at 41 times this year.
Yeah, man,
that's
fire.
Gonna be a good look.
That first night at Golden One, Thursday night against Minnesota.
Oh man,
it's going to be a special night.
Oh man,
we're hearing some behind the scenes things too about that night being even a little bit bigger.
Mm.
Even a little bit bigger.
No, that's right.
We'll see. Let's bring it. Well, all right. Settle down. Settle down. Bringing our man Jason Jones.
That was the second week in a row he's got this silly hat on.
He wears Dodgers hats.
Man, you're dressed for Halloween in September. What are you talking about? Like, why would you wear that clown suit this time of year?
Like I told my man Will earlier, we all know what happens around Halloween. You better hope it's not Halloween. We all know what happens.
What won't happen around Halloween. It won't be a Giants game. Only Giants we play will be in New York.
Hey, we all know what happens. See, the clock is hitting midnight at that point. If you even get that far, it's getting earlier and earlier every year. It's like the 25th.
Last time I played card. Jones, what happened? Last time I made the playoffs, what happened?
Hey, look, you guys won.
Answer the question. Last time you made the playoffs, what happened?
You guys won that series. No doubt about it. I can't dispute that.
I mean, you up here, you outside the club right now talking about what's going to happen.
I'm outside the club with the Bentley and a Rolex.
Well, I hope it's not in San Francisco.
Well, definitely no.
You got the Bentley Baby Birdman and them had back in 98, 99. I mean, it ain't a new one, but hey, I guess whatever works for you.
What you have? You have the MC Hammer Mercedes in 88? Is that the one that you got?
No, we got new stuff. You know,
You ain't got no new stuff.
My man Shohei, y'all been to the club once in 20.
Shohei going to fail like the rest of them.
Ooh.
He going to fail like the rest of them.
Okay.
Like they all did. We didn't see MVPs, Cy Youngs, all these guys.
How's Matt Chapman going to do in the playoffs?
Well, he ain't going to be in the playoffs.
Okay, then. What are we talking about?
We talking about y'all losing again. That's what we talk about.
Yeah, unless you like a Diamondback fan or a Padre fan, you shouldn't even be in the
Padres.
Conversation.
Let's go, baby.
Or a Phillies fan, or, I mean, a relevant team.
That's
going to
be tough. That's going to be tough.
I hope they give your GM like a 10-year extension. He's doing a great job.
He's a mole, and we're getting that mole out of here.
He's outstanding. What are you talking about?
He's a mole. His plan was executed perfectly.
What plan? He's doing a great job.
He's with the Dodgers. He's like birdie and above the rim.
Aren't you guys like better than the Rockies? You're not in last place. I mean, congratulations on a fine season.
Everybody better than the Rockies. I've said this before, but Jason, did you know they have never won an NLS?
Who?
The Rockies. Not once in their existence. That is awful. The one time they had their run, they were a wild card.
They're a wild card. I'm pretty sure no one in Colorado even cares about that. They're like, whatever. Like, when did the Broncos play? That's all they care about in Denver.
They don't even care about the Nuggets.
Yeah, it's like the World, like World Series, NBA Finals. Man, what's Bo Nix going to do? That's all they care about Denver.
Well, since you guys so charmingly brought up the Dodgers, we should probably talk about Shohei for a minute. Like, what that dude is doing is crazy. Special. Like, he's creating, he's like, no, I don't really like this club. I'm just going to create my own club. y'all had this 40-40 club. That's cool, man. I'm just going to create a 50-50 club.
Man.
And he's approaching that number, and that's insane. He's already in a club no one's ever been in before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy because, like, I'm going to think, like, I'll just steal three bases today. It's like,
his game is crazy.
I mean, and it's like a part of the reason why he's an MVP candidate, because with all the injuries they've had to their pitching staff, whenever they need a hit, somehow he's at the plate and he's hitting the ball off the park, or he's getting he's been better than I thought he was. I knew he was good, but when you're like following a guy regularly, I'm like, wow, he's really good. Like, just like, I know it's kind of like a duh, but you know, sometimes you just don't know how good a player, you know, you can know a player's good because you follow the sport in general. But when you like on a daily basis realize, wow, again, and then people forget, remember the start of the year, people were all down on him. They were like, oh, he's off to a slow start. He's like, okay, I'll show you.
He looks like he could flirt with the greatest we've ever seen. Yeah, like, sure. Barry Bonds is the best player I ever saw. Like, he could be that.
I mean,
50, a 50-50? I
mean, it's ridiculous. And
the Dodger Stadium is not really a home run park.
Especially at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're playing half your games there?
He's ridiculous. He is going to be in that discussion of greatest ever, greatest I've ever seen, or whatever the case may be. The only, I guess it's a knock. I don't mean it as a knock. The only thing that I think about that separates him and Bonds and Griffey and, you know, some of these other ones is he doesn't play the field. Mm-hmm. I know he pitches, you know, and that's a whole thing in itself. But,
I don't care. Yeah. It's like,
you know,
like,
that's a whole thing in itself, but
he hasn't even pitched for him.
Do you think he's going to pitch, right?
I think at some point he will, but it's like, even, it's just like somebody said, what's a sports comp? It's like, imagine if like you had, like your team had Joe Montana and Ronnie Lott, and like Joe Montana just like threw three TDs and then went and played free safety. Mm. Like, it's just like, or, you know, it's ridiculous. We've never seen anything like this. So, I mean, everybody knows that my hope is just that translates in October when Freddie and Mookie like to, you know, forget how to hit.
I was about to say, when he bats 153 in the divisional round, don't say I didn't tell you.
You'll know he's a Dodger.
let's be positive, y'all. I could make other jokes. I'm going to be nice today. I'm not going to say things.
Well, like our man Zabo says.
I'm not going to say terrible things about other teams you guys like, you know.
You guys, my hands are clean on this one. I swear to God.
I mean, because I can bounce around different teams, but I don't need my mentions and stuff flooded for being.
Oh, see,
again.
Now you're bringing the Kings into this. That's what I feel like. No, I see the wipe that stupid look off your face.
I ain't saying about the Kings. Hey, I'm just saying we'll all be free on Christmas. So hey,
well, see, that was that was completely uncalled for.
Hey, you started it, man. You started.
You did
Kings
start.
Weren't doing it. I didn't do anything.
You just jumped on it talking about October
hat.
And everything.
He got a hat on. You got a full uniform on.
Look at that hat.
You got the baseball pants on today, too.
You dress like you're about to take the field, and you mad at Jason for wearing a hat.
I got a hat on. You've got like you know, your glove over in the corner.
Look, it pissed me off. What you want me to say? It pissed me off. If there's one thing you don't want to do, that's piss me off.
I swear that
don't piss me
the
off.
The Jeff Jarrett quote is the strangest.
Don't watch Giants games, so you'll be all right.
Well, I've got a point. I've
done that.
You don't let the Marlins come to town, and you'll be happy.
It's just embarrassing. these guys out of here, man. It's just embarrassing, man.
How you feel just a few days away from your Raiders season starting? I try to be positive about them and like, show me you can win or show me you can lose. I just can't get excited about that offense. That's the thing that just kills me, is I can't get excited about that offense.
If they had like a Jeff Hostetler type, I'd be like, okay, we were in business. But it's kind of hard for me to be like, oh yeah, Gardner Minshew, yeah, we're rolling. I just can't, you know. Guys like him, a lot of times in the NFL, like fool's gold, they're always great when they're like not expected to be the starter. They come in, you know, and they win a few games as a backup. But when those guys have to start, you win 4 or 5 games. And that's kind of my fear, is just that as good as that defense is, I just don't, you know, how do you not upgrade that position more in the offseason? It just feels like, to me, some of it's the residual of Josh, you know. You know, and you know, and maybe you figure that your quarterback's in next year's draft. I don't, you know, because they were kind of in a pickle last year. You know, if they go ahead and just tank the season, Antonio doesn't have that job. So he was going to try to win games, but they won just enough to be out of range to get a quarterback. All right. And I mean, I guess you don't want to go like, say, the Ryan Tannehill route, like that type of thing, you know, but yeah, it's just. It's hard to get excited about that offense. I mean, it's just I don't know. You got an all pro receiver. I like what they could probably do with tight end, you know, with between Bowers, you know, and Mayer, you know, and then I think the running, they could be able to run the ball, but I would dare them to throw, you know, I would every game, I would dare Gardner Minshew to beat me.
So one of the things that I think about with Gardner Minshew, because I think he's an all right football player. Like, he's cool. I think with him there, you have a possibility of getting, you know, 7, 8, 9 wins, you know, at best with him. But I feel that way if all the weapons around him are ready to go. And without Brock Bowers being able to go week 1, it looks like, or at the very least he's questionable. Devontae Adams, I didn't know this until over the weekend, that he's at least listed as questionable for week 1. That's where it gets dicey. If the weapons around him that are solidified, and I know Brock is a rookie, but I think he's legit. But the ones that are solidified that are around him aren't there, that's he's not that good where he can just take anybody and win 6, 7 games. Like, he needs his
best
players.
I don't know about
around.
Saying Gardner Minshew go win me the game. I don't know if I like that prospect. No, and the Raiders are in a weird spot at quarterback, because generally either A, if you're going to, you know, this is going back a couple of years, if you're going to get rid of Derek Carr, you get a major upgrade or you go young. They didn't either. They kind of stayed in the same range with Jimmy. That didn't work, and now they're going backwards.
Do you
so I don't know what they're doing with that position right now.
Do you think Devontae finishes the season as a Raider?
I do. I just don't. I can't see Mark Davis trading him. I don't care how unhappy he is. You got to think about it. You know who we learned from. How often did his dad trade a guy because he was mad? I mean, he eventually traded Randy Moss, you know, because basically he didn't have much. I just can't see him getting traded.
But from that perspective, less that he's like mad, and more for, and this might be the Mark Davis thing you were speaking about, more so like, this might be better for the team. Like, if we can move him halfway through this season, we might be able to get some draft capital for him, because we're obviously. This is like purgatory. This is like a kind of a semi rebuild, but it's like a rebuild on one side of the ball and not the other.
Yeah, and that's, you know, they really need to address one position. Unfortunately for Devontae, it's the most important position to him.
Yeah,
and my fear with trading him would be, because I think their quarterback, I think their franchise, their future quarterback's in the 2025 draft. That's where their quarterback is. Mm-hmm. And then if you're going to draft a guy, wouldn't you rather have Davante Adams on the team than not?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. And then even with draft capital, it's not like you're going to get trade him to a team that's picking top five. Mm-hmm. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to find like the worst team and say, again, we're going to get the first round pick in 2025. Mm-hmm. I'd take my chance because I think if everything falls right, they can still be competitive this year. I mean, I don't think they're going to be. I mean, unless you get you know, too many injuries on offense, or Gardner and AOC are just, you know, worse than I can imagine. With that defense, they're going to be in a lot of games. They've got a good kick. They got good special. They got a good kicker. Got a good, you know. So they've got everything else around where I think they're going to be competitive. Right. And if you trade Davante, you're waving the white flag. Yeah. And I think Davante, you know, when you have questionable quarterback play, I think the last thing you want to do is take away the playmakers you have. I think even with a bad QB, Davante can make plays.
And I think I agree with you, Jason. I think they can be around a 500 team. Everything going good. People staying healthy. Gardner Minshew being what I think he could be. Adams, Bowers, maybe find one other playmaker, and everything could be good. But it's just when you start off with injury issues on that offense. And then we read the schedule. You know, we talked about the first nine games before you get to the bye.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a potential 2-7, 3-6. And then that's when you ask the question about Davante Adams. If they're 3-6, Davante may voice his displeasure and try to get out at that point.
Yeah.
And that's where I take management side and be like, so? So, I'm not trading you.
The corporate professor.
Yeah, we're not trading.
His last name is Jones, so I mean, oh,
it just makes
Jason Jerry Jones over here.
Yeah, I just don't see a scenario where it makes sense to trade him. And the thing, you know, so I think teams are going to call, because teams called last year apparently, mm-hmm. So they're going to call.
The only scenario I think makes sense. And I don't think this happens. This is where, you know, Kenny sees like a 2-7 in these first 10 games. I don't see that happening. I think, you know, we look at schedules, we get enamored with what we think is going to happen. But should something like a 2-7 happen, that's where I do wonder. It's like, can you get something back for him that will help accelerate this rebuild a little bit, on at least on the offensive end next year? But I'm leaning more to, I don't think that's going to be the case. And I think they'll be pretty competitive. And as long as they're competitive, you keep them around and you feed that beast.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be like a bottom five team. And that's the only part that's scary about that is that if you know you go into next year needing a quarterback in the draft, you know, what happens if you're in that 13-ish range, 15
gotta
range?
Move up.
You know,
gotta move up.
You know, and that's why that whole story, I mean, you never know how true that whole Ziegler wanted to move up to get CJ and Josh McDaniel said no. So if any part of that story is true, it's another reason why Josh McDaniel should never be allowed in the state of Nevada. But
Ziegler was making sure everybody knew he was the baby face.
Yeah, Ziegler was like, it wasn't me. I wanted to go get CJ, and that dude told me no. Yep. Well, in Ziegler's defense, it was Josh that hired him.
Well, that's...
So, I mean, he kind of couldn't go against the guy who hired him.
Yeah.
I don't want to steal your heat. You want to bring the Deion Sanders question to Jason?
Yeah. So we were talking about it earlier, Jay, and I look at potentially there being two jobs on the market for Coach Prime in the spring. He can go to Dallas, or he can go to Florida State. Which one do you think he would choose?
Florida State.
What if he could coach Shador in the NFL?
That, to me, that would be the only thing that would flip it.
So what we got hung up on is Dallas, clearly, they'll almost certainly, I should say, have a head coach opening and a quarterback opening. When you look around the league with teams, I guess he had like a list, or people were able to figure out a list of like a certain number of teams. Like, and they were all teams he played for: Atlanta, Baltimore, Washington. None of those make sense from one standpoint or both standpoints.
Right.
Apparently, Vegas was on that list.
I've seen that, yeah.
And it really boils down to, would you do Antonio Pierce that dirty if it landed you Deion and Shedeur Sanders?
I think the thing is if the season goes that bad, you could draft Shedeur and not bring Deion. The reason why I'm...
And that would have to be catastrophic, by the way. Impossible to see.
They would have to go like 2-15,
yeah,
you know, to be in that situation. And then, you know, yeah, and I think the other thing, too, is this, is that look how many coaches, Mark has gone through already just since they've been in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can't, even if things go terrible, I can't see him wanting to go ahead and blow up a whole other coaching staff, have to pay another staff, then pay. I just can't see a scenario where that happens, you know. And that's where the whole Dallas thing is interesting, because if for some reason they don't keep Dak, that's a scenario where if you're the Raiders and you're like 16, 17 in the draft, you say, you know what? We're gonna go out and sign Dak Prescott.
Yeah, pay him.
You know, we'll pay. You know, he'd easily be the best quarterback they've had since what, Gannon?
And you might have to Deshaun Watson that joint, because it's not gonna just be the Raiders.
Right. No, like, and you're gonna have to Deshaun Watson it, plus your no state income tax, and you know, you're looking at, you know, probably $70 million a year at least.
Mark gonna try to offer him ownership somewhere.
Mark gonna try to get him some of Allegiant Airlines or something.
He's gonna offer him the Aces. Like, look, buddy, I can't give you the Raiders, but there's nothing in the CBA that says I can't give you the Aces.
We'll see Dak over there. Hey, Asia Wilson will be at the press conference. He's like, what is she doing here? It's like, yeah, I think their future quarterback is not on the roster. And I think they're going to, they're going to do something. They're going to have to do something, because I think they're going to be good defensively. They're young enough on defense to be good for a nice window. And even offensively, they're young enough, you know, outside of, you know, Devontae's not really old, but, you know, when you got Bowers and you got all these young guys who are get some talent. You got to get the quarterback fixed. But I also just can't see Prime. I think coaching in the NFL would be different for him, because he would not be the star. He couldn't run it the same way. And I think he knows that, you know, the whole talk about mentoring men and being a father. Nobody want to hear that in the pros. And I think he knows his biggest impact is probably with college players, because you get to the pros. I mean, somebody's going to be like, man, forget you, you know.
Right.
Yeah, this ain't 1995. We don't care about Prime.
Right.
You know, so I just think his biggest impact, you know, I mean, heck, as a Raider guy, I take Dak Prescott and Travis Hunter.
One of the reasons why that kind of gets brought up the way it does is because Prime is either outright said or alluded to a couple of different times that, like, me and Shedeur are a package deal, or me, Shedeur, and Travis or a package deal. And that's why it's like, how does this even work?
I can't even believe my thing is I can't even take everything like that seriously.
Me, Shedeur, and Travis is wild.
Well, it's like, I can't even take that idea seriously. Me and two top 10 picks is like, okay, you draft my son, you trade up in the first round again and take Travis, and then you get... And here's the other thing, part about it too. What if Colorado goes like 5-7? Are you going to give all that up for a below 500 Power 5 coach?
Yeah.
I mean, if the NFL is a business to where good team, bad team, you're making a ton of money. He's not going to show up like he does at a Colorado and change the economy the way he did at Colorado. Say he ended up, I don't know, in Jacksonville. They're going to care about football the same way now than they did before he got there. I just feel like in college he has such a bigger impact on the players, on the program. You know, probably can't get paid the same, but he also won't have the same control. He'll have a GM in the pros. He can't pick his own players.
Yeah, he probably get paid more.
He gets paid more than college. Maybe not in college. You mentioned out the gate the whole question about Florida State today. He probably make more at Florida State.
Oh, yeah, Florida, yeah. Because remember, he was kind of like trolling them for years about how come you going to interview me?
Mm-hmm. He should go to Florida State. Like, yeah, that Florida should be
State,
the move.
It ain't been good since Florida State talked about how bad the ACC was and they needed out. Now they can't win in the ACC.
Damn, all bad. Remember when
that Cal game isn't feeling as scary as it did. Like, hey, maybe we've got a chance in Tallahassee now.
Remember when
that quarterback play is a troll. I had to get YouTube TV to watch that.
Welcome to the family, Jason. Welcome to the family.
Yeah. I said, your days are numbered, DirecTV. I said, no, I'm not even going to wait. What am I doing? I said, they will not get me for another billing cycle, Cam.
Were you able to get a hold of them and cancel? Because they make it really difficult for you to cancel.
I went online and did it.
I think that's a new law.
Because
you can sign up for a service in a split second. Mm-hmm. To cancel a service, you got to get on the phone and you have to press X to acknowledge that you're going to cancel, and they know you're going to cancel, and they're never going to pick up the phone.
Would you like to speak to a representative to confirm you're canceling? I'm canceling. Hi, before you go, we have another. No, I don't want to stay. No, I'm like, I'm ready to watch US. I'm going between NXT, and then I'm going to switch over and watch the football game on my laptop. And I'm like, hold up, what is this? What is TVPromise.com? Gonna offer me a $20 discount on my next bill, man. Get out of here. I did not realize how much Disney controlled sports until that day.
Yeah.
And I realized, and then the little message was like, we hope to have, by the way, you can watch it on the app. Like, no, I can't. It's like, you don't have
the channels. What are you talking about?
I was just like, they playing with us now. And I said, I can't get to Monday. I mean, even just for like sensibly for work, I can't not have access to football. Mm-hmm. I just can't be like, okay, as long as the game's not on ESPN or ABC, I'll watch it. Like, I don't have that option. Yeah. I'm up at the bar now. I'm like, maybe I could have expensed that. I should have thought about that. I got to go to the bar again, y'all. Well, can y'all expense this meal? So I got to watch the games.
I'm here at Morton's. I have to watch the game.
And I'm like,
no, I had four old fashions. What's the problem? I was here for the whole game.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I was here all day. Of course I had lunch and dinner and four drinks. What would you do? Jason, we're not paying for your $200 bill.
Game 916 said, DirecTV said, Jason, please don't do this. Please don't do this, Jason.
Because they're like, are you sure? I'm damn sure I'm doing this. How are you going to do it 30 minutes before kickoff?
Because
we hope to have it resolved maybe by mid-September, because then the new TV season starts. Like, I was like, no, I'm not doing this.
I hope to never speak to you again.
I was like, I was already on the fence about staying with them anyway. I said that just made the decision a whole lot easier. Yeah.
So gratifying. That was one of the most gratifying phone calls in my life. I'm out.
I was like, bye. I don't need you anymore. Bye. Yeah, like I said, it's kind of scary that Disney controls sports that much, too, though. Mm. That it's like, if you don't have them, because like the little message in DirecTV was like, of course they have most of, the Big Ten. And I'm like, they're just like naming like two or three like important conferences. Like, yeah, they cover their games on Saturday, but that's okay.
But who needs that?
Like, you realize Fox has, I don't know, whatever. And there's still the ACC network. It's like right now, the ACC network ain't looking so hot.
No. Damn.
Unless you're Florida. I mean, not Florida State or Clemson. And then I also get joy out of watching Dabo Sweeney's like flounder.
We always.
I feel like for Dabo, this is the Lord's will. I feel like this is what God wants him to go through now. He wants him to, get beaten up by Georgia and no longer win national championships. So.
Well, look, I can, like I said, I would talk about, like, I got this right. Show me my respect. Barry Horowitz, do whatever I got to do. I was dead wrong about DJU. Man, when I saw him at Bosco.
You could do it.
I think it's Uyelele.
I think that's
I was
right.
working on the guy from Tennessee, his name, over the weekend. I still need some work.
He's a Pauly kid, the kid from Tennessee. I think he's the Pauly.
He's nice. Yeah. But I won't make no
I was down last weekend, luckily, when Pauly was up this way. Well, thank God.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
That's not my Pauly. I saw that score. I said, pour me another drink. God.
Did What was I going to say? Is that me?
No, you're good. Okay. You, can you hear? I don't
yeah,
hear
Yeah, I hear a little. No, I don't hear no,
you.
No,
you're
more.
Good. Yeah.
But I was
talking about DJ.
Yeah, I was wrong. Yeah. I thought when I saw him at Bosco in that state championship game, I was like, this dude could go to the league. Now.
Turns out he stinks.
He's not that good. Oh, not man, that
the,
good.
The DJ memes are outstanding now.
Not good.
I mean, it's only two games in, but there. Someone said he could overthrow the Cuban government when Castro was in charge.
Yikes.
Oh.
Yikes.
Oh.
I mean,
I'll stall him out just a little bit. He was good at Oregon State last year. Maybe it's the coach.
They said somebody said the thing is about it too was that Oregon State was a run heavy team and he got all his stuff off of play action and you know they're asking to drop back and like in a sprint, you know. I was like, he was like the number one player in the country, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was
and I'm
special.
Like sitting there going, like I said, I'm watching him go. I'm like, man, if that's gonna be the quarterback, I mean the UC Davis quarterback looked better than him. I'm like, maybe we got a chance now in Tallahassee. I mean, outside of Miami, it's not looking good for Florida football.
Oh, it's definitely
Miami look good though.
Football. Speaking of the Pac-12,
look good, and Florida like they'll need a new coach. You know,
speaking of the Pac-12 or Pac-12 or whatever, they continued to just destroy themselves as they couldn't come up to an agreement with the Mountain West. So, Oregon State and Washington State will be like independents. Next year.
Next two were like the nastiest independents.
All right.
Like, it's like, how do you pitch to a school? Hey, we got open data in Pullman.
Oh, man.
Like, what? I'm cool. It's like the two non-marquee schools in that state, too. It's like, hey, who wants to come to Corvallis? It's like, nah, I'm cool. You know, who do they go talk to? Like, hey, we'll do a home and home in Pullman. It's like, I don't know what they're going to do. Cause that's like nasty. Like,
how do you not agree to nothing with the Mountain West? Like, just do what you got to do to keep some teams on your schedule.
I mean, imagine being that football staff and you got to recruit. And they're like, so what about next season, coach? Well, we'll get to that.
About that.
They're going to be heavy in that portal. They're going to be like, yeah, who needs a job? Because, yeah, we're struggling. Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for just that situation because it didn't have to be that way, I think. But that's the way it happened, you know. And now Cal plays Miami and Florida State, and this is very weird.
Traditional rivals.
Incredible.
Rivalry unlike
any other.
Yeah, you know. It's, yeah,
throw the
right,
records
yeah.
out when these two teams get together.
No, the nastiest part was during the Olympics when the ACC was claiming.
Oh.
Look at all the medals we've won. Stop.
So bad.
That was nasty work there. All these Cal and Stanford athletes winning gold medals and swimming and stuff. And the ACC.
Katie Ledecky, ACC proud.
The ACC is racking up gold medals. It's like, no, it's not. It's like, no, it's not. She went to Stanford. He never swam in the ACC. Stop this. But yeah, it's a whole different. Yeah, it's just going to be weird. I mean, Cal has Oregon State on the schedule this season. They got UCLA next season. You know, so I mean, it's like weird the idea that like USC would be an out of conference game. If they, you know, but college football is just weird now. You know, who knows? The SEC goes all the way to Oklahoma.
Yeah. Good luck to all involved. Jay, we appreciate you as always. We're locked in over there on the New York Times, waiting to see what drops next.
I got something on the way. You know, it's kind of a lighthearted deal, but yeah, we got some stuff on the way. So
okay, we're tapped in. No. Appreciate you, Jay.
All right, y'all.
Thank you, brother. It's our man Jason Jones right there of The Athletic. While we were speaking, Phil Yates tweeted, the 49ers restructured the contract of wide receiver. I'm great at English. It's good. Wide receiver Deebo Samuel, creating $16.4 million in cap space.
Didn't they already have like 50?
Well, that's all it says. I don't know anything else except that. The Ravens restructured some deals, including Justin Tucker. That got them $9.3 million in cap space. And the Jets restructured a deal. That one got my attention. a couple of them, Tyler Conklin and Quincy Williams. That only created $8 million in cap space. So I don't know what that means, if anything, for Hassan Reddick, because per CBA, he is required to appear and
the
play.
David Lombardi, the 49ers, that restructuring or whatever, they will have over $60 million in salary cap space, by far the most in the NFL. The 49ers also entered last season with number one in cap space following the Nick Bosa contract. This is a clear carryover strategy, taking advantage of cap inflation to increase spending ability now. I wonder if Debo's going to be gone or not. I was thinking about this before this whole thing. I don't know if this changes anything at all, but they love Debo. Like, Kyle loves Debo.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Debo likes being there. He may be able to get good money on the open market, but I don't think he's going to be getting, like, top 10 receiver money on the open market.
I don't think so.
So I've always, you know, tried to think, like, hey, this would be the last year with Debo. I wonder if it's not. And he, you know, this is one step moving towards him, you know, finding a way to stick around. I hope so. That's my boy right there, Debo.
I mean, the longer you can keep these guys together, like, Debo's not aging out.
No.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I think they're, you know, Trent's getting older, but he's obviously still playing at an extraordinarily high level. George Kittle, I think, is the one that you kind of wonder, is there going to be a decline? If so, how steep? And if it is a steep decline, what financial ramifications would that have in a discussion with George Kittle? Or does it make sense to have George Kittle anymore? So we, you know, football ages you quick. Like, yeah, we're accustomed to that. So we might be writing this team off a little bit earlier than we need to. I understand the sentiment, like, this is the one. Last year felt like the one. Next year very well could be the one, especially if Brock Purdy has a big year. So it's, I hope not. I think Debo and Kyle is a match made in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But restructures usually lead to Eric Armstead situations, yeah, rather than Trent too. Williams situations.
Yeah, that's true too.
So,
but like, I started the show.
Oh, good.
Give me Stringer Bell again, please.
I just want to go do Bell. The other show.
Come on. Trent is back.
I want you to put the word out there.
That's right.
That we back up.
Yep. Niners.
Understand me?
Game.
We back up.
We up.
Okay. Well, we're going to go do another radio show. Hopefully he's in an entirely different mood when we get over there. We're over on 102.5. Head over to MatthewsMattress.com right now. Find one of the 10 locations nearest you as the Matthews Mattress Labor Day sale continues. And we will see you guys tomorrow, beginning at 10 a.m. on The Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, 49ers.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.